looked last week at prayer, and we kind of broke up the Lord's Prayer. We looked at it in a couple different scriptures. Y'all realize that last week we were in Bible study on Wednesday, and the Lord really clearly spoke to me that this is where we should go for that following Sunday because of where we are with the life of the church and the barriers that we want to see broken and the lives that people are dealing with. And we broke that down. We divided it up. We looked at the importance of prayer. Yeah, as if that's a rocket science thought, you know, that the importance of prayer. We looked at the benefit of prayer as it pertains to our relationship with the Lord and how much we want to see. And we looked at seeing that if we're going to be in a right relationship, that relationship should be so intimate that you can tell the Lord anything. Because the Lord knows what's going on in our lives. So there really should be nothing that we are not able to come and share with Him. I did ask some questions for you to reflect on, and I hope that you were taking notes and you remember that, and you kind of looked at some of these areas this past week. We said there was promises in the Word of God that can affect your life. The problem is that if you don't know the promises, or you're just wanting God's promises, but you're not looking at the obedience side, you know, there begins to be a conflict, and the Lord's going to get your attention. And we looked at, you know, the Lord saying, "I will never leave you," which is His presence. "I am your shield," meaning His protection. He says to us, "I will strengthen you," which is His power. And He says, I will help you," which is the provision. All of these things God desires to do in our lives, wanting to bring us into that relationship, wanting us to learn how to trust, wanting us to see things through His eyes and not our own, wanting to not have us base our decisions on you know, our wanting what we want, or based upon what we can see or what we think we can do in ourselves. And we put God in this box. How many have heard me say over the years, you know, you can't put God in a box. If you do, you're going to limit him on what he's going to do. We looked at that, you know, the promise is, you know, when we looked at the promises, we're saying that that you're in a relationship with the Lord, because you can't have a relationship if it's one-sided. So, you know, this morning, and I say all of this because this is probably the start of this series was last week, and I bring it into keys to abundant life for this week, but that is a key. Prayer is definitely a key. You can't be where God wants you to be without communicating with God, without a relationship with God, without God being able to communicate back to you. You know, and you look at these things, and when I say a relationship, I'm saying this, that you've accepted Him as Lord and Savior of your life, that you're thanking Him for what He's done, talking about the cross and what He's done on the cross for us, and that by choice you are following Him. See, there's a difference there, because there's a lot of people that know of Jesus. There's a lot of people that agree with Jesus, but there's so many that somewhere along accepting Him, thanking Him for what He's done, and then choosing to follow Him, there's a lot that get lost in that road and in that path. And you know, that He's not just a prophet that we read about in the Bible, or it's not just somebody that when I occasionally come to church that, you know, that I heard the preacher say about Jesus. You're really looking at it and saying, I'm in a relationship. This is long haul. I, you know, short of getting my breath, that's one of the first things I'm doing, is seeking God's face to see what that looks like and what that means in my life. God promises us, if we live that way, He promises us abundant life, don't He? He promises us that He's going to be in it. And then there's a whole discussion of what the abundant life looks like and what would be the nirvana, so to speak, of your life, or what you're expecting of that. And you know, but He does. God promises that if we're living the life that we're supposed to, the life that He's laid out for us, He promises us that we can have that abundant life. And there's a good spot to say amen this morning. You can live that abundant life no matter what you're going through. Can I say that again? See, because most of the time we base it upon what we're going through. If everything's going good, we call that abundant life. We're thankful. Everything's going as planned. And as soon as something comes in there and messes it up a little bit, then we think we're not having that abundant life, or we're mad at God. We talked a little bit about it in Sunday school. What a coincidence. There is times that we just got to understand that God is God and we're not, and we got to understand that God wants our best, and sometimes that causes us to have some trials and tribulations. That causes us sometimes to have to stumble and reevaluate and look at what's going on in our lives. But we can have the abundant life in the midst of some of those things. And that's where a lot of people miss out. They're so focused on how they perceive everything that they miss of what God's doing or wanting to do in their lives. Provided that you're living the life that you know to live. Now, anybody here besides me make mistakes? Once you realize that you make a mistake, what do? You learn from it and change it so that it doesn't happen again. And that applies to what we know with God's Word also. That, you know, provided you are living and obeying God's Word as you know it, and that He's in charge of your life, and as He shows you things that you need to change, you're willing to do that. And if you remember last week, I talked about the dynamics of prayer. I'm saying this morning. There is no dynamics to prayer if you're not praying. If you're not praying, there's no dynamics to prayer. There's nothing God can do if you're not allowing Him to be in your life. There's nothing that God will do if you're doing things in your own way, in your own thinking, or you're not listening to what God clearly gives you as directions. And I'll go on to say this. There is no abundant life if you're living outside of the Lord. Now, there's so many people that would say, I beg to differ with you. But I'm telling you, there is no abundant life outside of the Lord. At best, you're going to have a temporary, what you think is abundant life. And it, no matter what, outside of the Lord, it's not eternal abundant life. At best, at very best, it's going to be temporary. At the very best. A couple scriptures. If you notice, I didn't give us a text because I'm jumping to a couple different scriptures this morning. First one is 1 John 4:4. You can turn there if you like to. It's just one verse. Greater. I'm having trouble holding this thing up here. Greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. Now let me tell you, do you really believe that this morning? Because it's going to make a difference on how you perceive abundant life. It's going to be different on how you live your life. Because that is one of the keys to the keys, if I could say it that way. Greater is He that's in you than in the world. One of the keys to the abundant life is the Holy Spirit working in your life. See, we talk a lot about the Holy Spirit. We talk about the pluses if we have a life that's filled with the Spirit. But I'm telling you, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. There's victory in Jesus. There's victory in the Holy Spirit working in our lives to make that life abundantly. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, and of love, and of self-discipline." If you're realizing, and you grab on to 1 John 4:4 that says, greater is He that's in you than he's in the world. If you really grab on to that, and you understand that God wants to work in your life, that God will give you the power to get over some of these barriers in your life. And then, if you realize, if that's the case, and it's not all about me, and it's not about in my strength, but it's in God's strength, then you can come over to Timothy and grab this verse and realize God did not give you the spirit of fear. God did not give you the spirit of fear, but of love, discipline, and a sound mind. It makes a difference. Abundant living is because God is working in your life. That would be another good place to say amen. that God is working in your life is why we can even think that we can have a abundant living in a world that we live in. In all the stress and the tear downs and everything that's going on in our lives. It's not because, and you'll never have it, if God is off to the side. If God's off to the side and you're only inviting Him into your life when you got problems, and His whole responsibility according to you is to see you get in and out of trouble, you're going to have some problems. Carmen, for those of us that are a few years old, Carmen in the 80s sang a song, "I'm Not Ashamed of the Gospel." And you know, it just makes me grab onto that verse as I was thinking about it this week. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because, why? Because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that He is able to guard what I've entrusted to Him. I know who I believed in. I'm convinced that God is able to do far more than I can even imagine. And that's where He says, I will give you abundant life. I will give you what's needed. Paul tells us, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. See, abundant life is not something that you can buy or achieve. And that's where the world goes wrong, because isn't that how they base abundant life? They base it on the ability to buy whatever they want. They base it on how far they can go and achieve and where they can go. I believe in education. I believe in bettering yourself. I believe that God puts in each one of us a drive to accomplish something. But abundant life will never come if it's just on achieving, if it's just on what we can do, if it's based on what you can buy or what you can't buy. Because that abundant life will always look different to someone else, to somebody that has everything, the toys just get bigger. To those that don't have much, they look and wish that they could have what that other person has. So that list just keeps growing, and there never seems to be enough of what you're looking for. So you can never accomplish abundant life by buying or achieving. And abundant life doesn't happen without God, because it's a lifestyle centered around God, and because of God being centered in your life can be abundant and blessed. Now I have a question for you to ask again. What do you really want? And see, that question is going to be, for each one of us, it's going to be different, because really, I can see the outside and the exterior of every one of you, but I can't see your heart. So when you answer this question, you're really answering it before the Lord. What do I really want? And part of that question has to be this. Do you want God at a distance? Or do you want Him running and controlling your life? See, you could say, yes, I want God centered in my life. And stiff arm Him like some of these football players do on some of these plays that we saw this week. You can, you know, that's how we really approach God. Every time He comes near, we give Him a stiff arm and keep Him at arm's length away. So really, that question each one of us has to answer this morning. Do you really want God at a distance, or do you really want Him to be a part of your life? And that's your choice. If you're going to have abundant life, you cannot do it without God. Let me say that again. Repetition is good. You cannot have abundant life without God. For those of us that claim the name of Jesus Christ, we make a plan with God. Now hear me out. We make a plan with God. We work the plan with God. And when things are tough, we heavily lean on God. Absolutely. That is the plan. Here's the other thing. There is no plan B. Amen. Plan B, unless God gives us a plan B, and plan B. How many know that God's plan B can be as good as plan A when God is in it? Because I say this in the sense that there are some things that we had no control over. And God says that was plan A. Plan A didn't work out because other people, circumstances, things beyond our control get involved. And God comes in with plan B and it's just as good as plan A because God's still in it. But when we plan B, it don't work. Because we either forget God altogether or we start trying to fix things that God's not ready for us to have fixed, or put us in a position that God's not ready for us to be in that position. So I say this, God is not fit into your plan. God is your plan. You don't fit. God doesn't fit in your plan. You fit in God's plan. That's the way it has to be. I hear some people say sometimes that they say, I need a new and a fresh start. I always like to ask questions after that. Because for some, the fresh start is weekly. So you ask, you know, okay, what's going on? And they begin to share all these things. I'll say this, you don't need a fresh start if you're walking with God. Hear me out. God may make changes. There's some all kinds of things that could be particulars in there. But if you're walking with God in a meaningful relationship, you don't need a fresh start. You just need to hear from the Lord where you're at. Amen. And you know, if Christ isn't Lord of your life, you need a fresh start. You need a fresh start if you're not listening to God. You need a fresh start if you're doing things in your own way. You need a fresh start if you need to get back to for you to know what works. Make a plan, work a plan, and own it. Did you get that? So many times, we have a plan, we don't work it, and then we blame God why it don't work. Or God shows us some things that need to be changed in the plan that, you know, as circumstances change or as we didn't get it right. Just plain, we didn't get it right. And God says, that's not it. Work the plan. Own it. Give God control of your life before it keeps spinning out of control. I think I'll have to do this message in two parts. I walked up with all my notes and I was down by in my office downstairs and I walked up. I had all these papers. Beck said, did you get all of that while you were downstairs? And I say amen. Between what I got and the time I was downstairs. So I really think that I need to do this in two parts. I understand that God is doing some things. I also believe that all of us really do want abundant life. You know, if I walked up to any one of you and said, hey, do you want abundant life? Do you really want all that God has for you? You would say yes. I mean, if you didn't, I'd have to check your pulse and see if you had a fever, because we would all want that. We would all want what we would perceive abundant life to be with God in the center of. The problem is that most of the time we want it in our own terms. We want it our way. But the day that we accepted Jesus Christ is the day that we gave Christ the authority to do what was best for us, and allowing God to do His will in our lives. I think there's several reasons that we miss what God's best is, or what God's desire is for us. And we live lives that are far from God's best. And I don't have no hands needed. I know, we've all been there. We've all known that we fall short of where God wants us to be. But there's several reasons that we can miss what God's desire is for our lives, and we live far from God's best. And we're going to look at two of them today. And we're going to come back to this next week and look at some of the other keys that are involved here. There, here, you know, Let me just say this. Reasons that you don't have the abundant life that God desires, and why some never accomplish what they're supposed to accomplish in their lives. Number one, and you can write this down this morning. Procrastination. Procrastination. Defined by Webster, to put off intentionally the doing of something that we know should be done. And it comes back to tomorrow. And tomorrow never comes. In the sense that we don't accomplish what we're supposed to. I'll tell you how bad procrastination is. It's listed on the same page in the dictionary as proctology. Now that's how bad it is. And if you go all the way to the end of the page, it lists you with the prodigal son. And how bad that you need to come back to the Lord. See, it's really funny how people spend so much time on health and work and sports and recreation, but we procrastinate on the spiritual things that God wants to do in our lives. And it spills out into all other aspects of our life. Let me say that again. We spend so much time on work. We spend so much time on our health. Well, some of us do. But then when it comes to the spiritual side of our lives, it's always tomorrow. When I get older. When I have more time. When I finish this project. When I do this. When I do that. Psychology Today says that every one of us procrastinates. At times. I didn't finish it. Every one of us procrastinates at times. But 20% of us are true procrastinators. And part of the problem is this, that if you're classified in that 20%, you're saying that you work better under pressure. I do my best work under pressure. I want you to know something. You're probably lying to yourself. That wouldn't be the best. The best is to get it done. Get it in a timely manner. Not wait till the last minute. If I don't feel like it, it won't be very good. Meaning that unless I really just feel like it, I can't do a project because it won't be my best. If I do anything less than my A game, I don't know about you, but I'm not on my A game every day. Otherwise, it wouldn't be your A game. So you need to watch what, you know, where you are there, you know. If you're waiting and you say that I always work better under pressure, nah. You'd do better if you didn't have the pressure. And if you wait till you always feel like it, you're not going to get much accomplished. We won't even get into turning the TV off. Procrastinators set unnecessary stress on an already busy life. Did you get that? Some of us don't have abundant life because we put ourselves under the gun all the time. We can blame other people, we can blame circumstances, but sometimes we put ourselves under the gun all the time. And I'll go as far to say is sometimes we just put ourselves under the bus. We just plain put ourselves under the bus. So, you know, I got a thought here about how to reduce the stress of procrastination. And it's really profound. You're going to love it because it took me 4 years in college to figure this out. Reduce the stress of procrastination. Make a list of what needs to be done and when it needs to be done. Make a list what needs to be done and when it needs to be done by. Number two, break it down into tasks. Now, for some of you that do this on a daily basis, you're going to say, wow, you wasted 4 years. But that list will help you. Break it down into tasks. Number three, set reasonable goals. And here's the profound one. Number four. Anybody got it? Do it. Absolutely right. I heard it. Do it. Don't talk about it. Do it. Put something in motion. And then I'll go as far as to say, don't overestimate the time. Don't underestimate the time. Procrastinators are always looking for ways of being distracted so they can justify that they didn't complete the project. In a lot of people's spiritual life, they don't live the abundant and fulfilling life that God intends because they are being distracted by things that take them away from the completion of what they know to do. Isn't that profound? I got my money's worth, didn't I? Stop putting off what God has already instructed you to do. And most times even tells you how to get the task done. And I have to be careful sometimes because people are always sending me emails and I find myself checking my email 20 times a day. For some of you that are sending me stuff, it might be a little later than every hour. Because if you got to check your email 20 times a day, you're taking away time from the task that you're involved in. I kind of like there's some that they check their emails boom, boom, and boom, certain times of the day. Anything that falls in between, you got to wait till the next time. And I'm not too sure there's anything wrong with that. But yeah, anything that's going to distract you so that at the end of the day you can justify why you didn't complete the plan. Here's another thing. Mistakenly thinking that everything that you do must be on the top 10 fun list. You didn't like that one, I could tell. You're going to end up procrastinating then. Everything you do is not going to be on that fun list. And it's not going to be, you know, I'm going to get the fuzzies when I do it. You're going to have to dig in and grab onto it and do what you know to do. Here's a good one. I heard Marty say it. Put God on your to-do list and do it. Put God on your to-do list and then go do what He's supposed to have told you to do and make that... Ooh, I almost lost that. Here's the second thing. And I'm going really quick. Second thing that you may never accomplish what God desires for you and miss that abundant life is this. You allow your past to identify you instead of Christ. Can I say that again? You allow your past to identify you instead of Christ. Every single one of us has a past. Every single one of us has a closet that had skeletons at one time. Every single one of us could just bail out because of something that somebody else did to us. But I want to tell you this morning that unless you don't let your past define you, you're never going to get to the life that God wants you to have. Amen. And you need to ask yourself this question. What is it about your past that keeps you in fear? You have to identify that. God's saying, here's what I want for you, and you live in this defined moment and don't allow God to bring you out of that. So you've got to ask your question, is what has the past caused me to be in this fear? And then stop and think about it. Why do we live in fear of something that most of our lives has been in the past? Why does it keep rearing its ugly head? Why does it constantly be a thorn in our sides? And the only thing I can come up with that God wants us to get past is that most people cannot get their past because they're afraid it's going to happen again. Profound, I know. You've been hurt in the past. You're afraid you're going to be hurt again. You've lost a loved one. And you're afraid to open up because you risk losing again. You've had a bad experience in church, so all churches must be bad. You've had a person in the church burn you, so then that's why all church people hurt you. God says it doesn't have to be that way. He tells us that accepting Christ as Lord and Savior, that we become new creations. We've looked at this verse several times in the last month. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old is gone, the new is come. And then I bring it to the Scripture. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Listen, if you're struggling with sin this morning, God says you can be delivered. The Bible talks about death through Adam, but life through Christ. Being fully persuaded that God had power to do what He's promised. See, now you broke some laws, you got some issues, there may be consequences, you stole something, restitution may be required. But for most of us, our past is under the blood. Can I say this? For most of us, the past is under the blood, and God is desiring to set you free so that you can live the life that God intends you to have. We sometimes become this self-proclaimed prophet. I knew this would happen. This always happens to me. Some people believe that you get what you ask for. Others think you're going to get what you expect. And I'm closing by saying this. Stop expecting the worst.
Amen.
Did you hear me? Stop expecting the worst. Some people believe that you get what you ask for. And others just expect these bad things to happen. And I'm saying to you this morning, stop expecting the worst. Stop replaying the bad things that have happened in your life. Stop expecting bad things to always come your way. Sure, you're going to have trials and you're going to have some troubles, but you do not have to live there. You don't have to live there. God is wanting more for your life. I'll say this. Today is a new day.
Yes.
At least it can be if you'll let it. Today is a new day. You know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You're a child of God, and God doesn't create junk, and God doesn't give up on us, and God doesn't want us to live these defeated lives because of something that happened in our past. And God's telling you, and I hope the Holy Spirit is working on you this morning, God's telling you, you can write a new script for yourself this morning. You can write a new script. You can go from defeated to victorious. I'm closing. Like I said, we're only going to get two of them. We'll look at more next week. Throw those things in the sea of forgetfulness instead of in your heart. Throw procrastination out and allow God to do things in your life. Throw out those things in the past that just keep hindering you. I didn't say it was going to be easy. And I didn't say you could do it yourself. But God is saying there is victory there if you will continually allow Him to do it. Throw it in the sea of forgetfulness instead of the back of your mind that you're always bringing it back up. Change your expectations and change your thoughts. We touched on that this morning in Sunday school. Stop expecting disappointments and letdowns at every avenue of your life. Without risk, you will not live the abundant life God wants you to have.
Amen.
Do you hear me? Without risk, you will not live it. Start living those promises. God says He will never leave me and forsake me. God says He will be my shield. God says He will protect me and strengthen me. God will help me. And you're not here this morning by chance, and I don't believe in coincidence. And over the years, I've made it a joke, but I don't believe in coincidence. God doesn't work on our lives by chance. I believe it's a divine moment for each and every one of us. These papers are driving me crazy. Divine moment, and that God wants to do something with our lives. Stop saying you can't. I've said it before, can't is not a good English word. And if you're following God, it's probably not something you want in your vocabulary anyways. If it's in God's will and it's something God wants, that can't is an unacceptable word. Can I get an amen.
Amen.
Better yet, can you move out of your past and into where God wants you to be? Procrastination is a spiritual disaster, and letting the past define you rather than where the Lord's taking you is hindering you and where God wants to take you.